Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Let's sing it out now. On the first, I once was a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the wide road angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory. Oh, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore. To sing the last now. 'Tis the book is written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory. Oh, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the wide road angels sing the story. Sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory. Oh, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam.
Reaching high. appreciate the prayers of this church. We get in here, and I know that y'all do it in Sunday school classes. I know Brother Joe's class every week. They send out a long email list of prayer requests, and at the end of our choir practice every week, we take prayer requests, and it takes several minutes to get through them all because there's just so many needs, and not all within right here, but people that are connected to people that are outside the church. And I just appreciate the fact that Westside Baptist Church rallies around our folks, but other folks as well that stand in need of the Lord's help and His touch. And I appreciate and love the words of this song, written out of a situation where God touched her heart to write this song, Karen Peck. And as she wrote the song, a week later, her husband was diagnosed with serious cancer. And it was like the Lord was preparing her for what was coming that they'd have to deal with. And what a song that He was able to give her to pen down. You pray for the choirs we sing.
Right here in the storm, He's still the same.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad he's just a phone call away. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 30. We want to read at this moment, but in a few moments. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, ladies and gentlemen, but we've had a really good day at Westside Baptist Church. Lord's been good to us. Brother John and Miss Betty, they're not here tonight because one of her grandsons are getting baptized tonight. And so they wanted, of course, to see their grandbaby baptized, and I can appreciate that. This morning, we began our discussion on why do Christians suffer? My heart has been touched this week as I've been asked that question. And then I've watched it play out over the years and the lives of various Christians that have experienced this great suffering. I couldn't help but think about our dear sister Brenda this morning. And we would go, Lisa and I would go down to Hogansville and spend time there. The last couple times that we went, Miss Brenda was not coherent, and because of the drugs, she was pretty much out of it. But I did enjoy our visit. Say, well, that may sound a little awkward, but I enjoyed it because I'd speak up real loud and I'd say, Miss Brenda, and somehow she pull those eyes open and look and give a little grin. She was just a sweetheart of a lady. guess what, folks? She suffered. I go and I see our brothers and sisters in Christ, such as Brother Don Frosseth, and watch him suffer over time. And I believe I told Wednesday night, the last time Lisa and I went, which was two Fridays ago now, he's down to 130 pounds and losing his teeth and so forth. When you see God's children suffering, if you have a heart at all, it's bound to tug on your heartstrings. But when a Christian becomes so distraught and distressed and so, if I may say, at the end of their rope, they start asking why. This morning, I enjoyed bringing to you the message out of Exodus chapter 4, where Moses suffered at the most strange time in his life. I still can't get over the fact that Moses had already met with Jesus, with God, with the Lord. And during the occasion of the burning bush. And the Lord said, take the rod, throw it down. And it did, and it turned to a snake. And said, Moses, pick it up. And he did. He said, now take your hand, that perfect hand, and stick it in your bosom and pull it out. And Moses did. When he pulled his hand out, it was covered in leprosy. The Lord said, put it back in your bosom and pull it out again. So Moses did. And it was perfect again. The Lord told Moses to take his shoes off, take his sandals off, because the place where he was standing was holy ground. So I want to just reiterate the fact that Moses was quite a man, quite an instrument that the Lord used. And here's Moses. They're on the way to Egypt. Things are happening. Great things are about to start happening. And yet God says, I'm going to kill you. I couldn't get over that. And I hope it has affected you the way it affected me. just to find out that Moses had not done anything wicked. The neighbors were not pointing at Moses and laughing. But he had committed a sin of omission. He was passive aggressive, if I may say, against God. He had not been obedient totally to the Lord. Now, this is the man who had just come down from meeting with God. This is the man. I can't get over that, but nevertheless, we must move on. We ended that portion of the message this morning. Moses, a man that loved his family, loved his wife, but fell into that sin of complacency where he allowed something to take place or not to take place without acting on it. So we did see this morning, and probably we'll see again, that there are times when, yes, God does punish with sickness and sometimes even death when his children get out of line. So the question was and is, why do Christians suffer? Well, you're welcome, if you'd like, to turn to Romans chapter 5. And I want to say this, that God allows Christians to suffer that we will exercise the fruit of patience. See, patience is a fruit. It's an evidence. It's something that should be in us when the Holy Spirit moves within us. And so Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, I want to stop right there, because this thing of patience is so vital that God would allow you and me to experience ongoing tribulation, that it may work or build something in us. And in this case, we're talking about this thing called patience. Now, patience means something. And it means more than just standing by and waiting. God is working through and in the tribulation of our lives that we may be patient. And patient means a continuance. Patient continuance. It means this. Patient continuance of war. Ladies and gentlemen, God allows us to experience suffering and hard times because you and I are at war. I'm afraid that too many times we're at war with ourselves. We're constantly battling this flesh. But ladies and gentlemen, this patience, this continuance of being at war is not speaking being at war with ourselves, that God is building and allowing suffering in our lives that so we can continually war with the devil. He is the one we're to war with. I'm afraid Christians are so busy warring with one another that we're forgetting who we're to be fighting. In this case, God allows us to go through the tribulation and the suffering, that not only that we will be patient in enduring the war with the devil, but also that we will recognize whom we are at war with. So the exercise of the fruit of patience, continuance of war, patiently waiting, it also being steadfast. And I like this. You ready for this, church? Now remember, we're asking, why is God allowing his children to suffer? And the word we're dealing with here is that, or the words are, tribulation worketh patience. So let's remember that. Because this thing of patience means steadfastness. And the word steadfastness in this Hebrew word means unwavering, firm in purpose. God allows us to suffer that it may resonate within our spirit, that our patience, our unwavering, is firm for a purpose. God has allowed us to suffer for a purpose, and he's pointing this out to us. Endurance. This thing of patience is also speaking of the characteristic or the character of a man or a woman who is not swerved from his or her deliberate purpose. We have a deliberate purpose. And God allows us to suffer so we will not swerve from that purpose. I said this something like this one Wednesday night, I know. There's a reason why God does not allow every one of us in this room to be multi-millionaires. And I'm going to tell you why that is. Because we wouldn't be worth shooting. This church would have three or four of you sitting in here right now. If God blessed financially each of us like we really want to be blessed, we couldn't find you with a search warrant. Because you'd be out doing and searching and seeking and enjoying the things of the world rather than serving your and my purpose. So suffering, yes, it exercises the fruit of patience, or if I could say the fruit of our purpose. You have a purpose, I have a purpose in the family of God. And it's up to us to stay focused, unwavering, not swerving, but grabbing a hold of that purpose. And ladies and gentlemen, God allows suffering in our lives to help us reach that goal. Well, what goal are you talking about? Not our goal, but God's goal. He has a goal for you. He has a goal for me. And we don't always see what that is. So he has to inflict us and help us through suffering. He directs us through suffering. So this is where patience is talked about. Patience produces, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, perfection. James 1:4 says, let patience have her perfect work. Why? That ye may be perfect and I like this, an entire wanting nothing. Did you hear that, folks? There is a perfection that comes with the patience which is delivered unto us because the Lord allows us to suffer. I tell you, I suffer in a certain way every week. I suffer. Can I tell you where I suffer? I want to preach not just a message when I stand before you. I want to preach the message. And I suffer, I wrestle to the point where it's discouraging sometimes with that thing which I want to bring the church to help you. That's what I wrestle with. And frankly, I really do suffer with that. I mean, it is a burden at times, sometimes more than I can handle. But God uses that suffering, He uses that wrestling to perfect what He wants me to say across this holy desk. So there is a perfecting that takes place in our suffering. Perfect. This word perfect here, remember what we're reading, James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be what? Perfect. And we'll stop right there. This word perfect describes something that is complete. It describes something that is whole. It gives a description of something that is. And these are definitions, by the way, without blemish. It can also refer to someone who is blameless and has integrity. So what God is saying here in His Word is, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be blameless, that ye may conceal and obtain godly integrity. God, why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Because there's a godliness, there's a perfection that God and the Holy Spirit want to work in our lives. So we must suffer at times that God can have and work His perfect will in our lives. Y'all getting this? Why do Christians suffer? Yes, earlier we looked at a man who was a great man and became sick, and God almost killed him. Then we see that God allows us to suffer to exercise the fruit of the Spirit which He wants to grow within us. We see also that Christians suffer because it develops maturity. That's right. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. By the way, a while ago, those songs were talking about Jesus. I had a hard time holding it together. Well, that's good. What a lovely name, that name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. After that, ye have suffered a while. Make you, here we go again, perfect. Here he goes again, wanting to instill a blameless character. Wanting to instill integrity. Tonight we do have Christians that do not understand and do not realize that at this time in their lives that they are on the chopping block. I believe, yes, Westside, members of even our congregation at this very moment, it's 6:58 on this Sunday, and there are Christians who are being moved to the chopping block because they refuse to admit they're omitting sin. They're denying sin. They're doing their own thing. They're not allowing God to exercise the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. They're not allowing the Lord to perfect them or mature them. And I'm afraid as time goes on, we will see some things take place in their lives. And I want to say this, and I mean it with all the love I can scrounge up and scrape up, because I do love everybody in the church. But it's going to be our job, when all hell breaks loose in their lives, to rush to them and embrace them and love them and pray over them as if they were one of our own blood kin. Suffering develops maturity, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This verse, I think, sums it up. Maturity. He allows us to suffer that we will mature. Then also God allows us to suffer that he can prove to Satan that his children will love him no matter what. Did you hear that? If you don't believe it, jump over into the book of Job. And look, the only thing that's passed between now and the time of Job is time. We change, cultures change, but God never changes. So I believe that he allows us to go through suffering so he can rub the love that we have for him into the nose of the old devil. There in Job chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. This is literally immediately after he had found that all his children had been killed. And prior to that, his crops, his animals, everything was gone. And now, the worst of the worst. His children were gone, 10 of them. And what did he do? He didn't shake his fist in God's face and say, why did you do this? Where are you in all this? But he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. Then it goes on to say, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, the Bible says, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. God will allow us to suffer when he has confidence that when the old devil rushes up to mock him, he'll say, hey, listen to what they're saying, fella. They're suffering, but they're not blaming me. They're suffering, but they're not angry with me. Matter of fact, old Satan, if you'll just lean your ear over the banister, you'll hear some singing coming from that dark prayer closet. You'll hear some weeping, but you'll hear some praying. You'll hear some burdens, but you'll hear some worship as well. God has so much confidence in his children that he will lay suffering upon us, that Satan we'll get just one more black eye. So this thing, why do Christians suffer? Yes, because of sin. Yes, because God wants to build them into Satan-fighting machines. But yes, because he wants to rub the devil's nose in our love that we have for Christ. I tell you something else about suffering. And I hope you don't mind, but I'm either going to have to finish this tonight or it's going to be a three-parter. What do y'all want? We'll find something else. And this takes some willingness on our part. This takes some humility on our part, Christian. Suffering is our greatest teacher. Psalms 119 and verse 67 says, and I may end here tonight, before I was afflicted, before I was afflicted, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have kept thy word. Are we getting anything tonight, old Christians? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have kept thy word. This is a man who has gone astray, experienced the chastising hand of God. And now he says, I keep your word now. If it stopped there, that will be one thing. But frankly, there are too many verses that deal with this for me to read tonight. So I will read one more. In Psalm 119 and verse 71, the psalmist says, now listen to this. It is good for me. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know what he's saying here? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might pay attention to your word. God allows us to suffer, Christian, because he wants us to pay attention to his word. Just pay attention. You know, when Lisa never gets angry with me because she's lucky to have me for a husband. She's not here tonight. Luckily, she's homesick in bed. Amen. But you know when she does get aggravated with me, this causes more aggravation with her, with me, than anything else. I'm riding down the road. My mind is everywhere. And she is talking away. And all I can say is, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Two thumbs up, honey. And she'll say, you're not listening to me, are you? And you know what I'll say? I'll lie, Brother Bill. Oh, yeah, honey, I'm listening. Yeah, but you know, I'm not. And she becomes frustrated with me. She just becomes frustrated with me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that Lisa doesn't hit. She doesn't hit me to get my attention, punch me on the arm or slap me in the face or whatever. But I want to say every once in a while, God might reach over and hit you on the shoulder, get your attention, so we'll listen to his word. The Word of God is a beautiful book. Brother William and I were talking about some things in the Bible that are hidden in the Word of God the other day. When you get into the book of Psalm, and you find in the book of Psalm the prophecy where Great Britain in 1917 came into Israel and went to battle and took Jerusalem and gave it back to the Jews. You find stuff like that in the Bible. Say, is it there? It is there. 1917. Psalm is the 19th book in the Old Testament. The 17th chapter of the book of Psalms is there. We'll preach about that on a different time. But my point is, it's beautiful. It's got everything in there. All we have to do is listen to it. As beautiful as it is, unless we listen to it, it will do us no good. Tonight, I'm going to stop right there. But God allows us to suffer for every reason we discuss this evening. I don't know about you, but man, I've had a good time today. You say, preacher, you sure are boring. I'll shut up. When you have preached in the center of God's will, you couldn't give a rip about what anybody thinks. And that's where I am tonight. If you didn't like it, I love you. Tough love. Let's stand, please. The invitation is just simple. It's just simple. It's just simple. Lord, what are you trying to show me? Lord, is there anything that I've brushed aside? Anything in my life that I haven't, maybe I haven't even taken notice of it, but yet you're trying to get my attention? Or Lord, maybe you're trying to build me. Lord, maybe you're trying to mature me. Lord, maybe you're trying to help me. I was talking to Tracy's niece a while ago before church. And she's moving away. And I don't like it. This church doesn't like it. Tracy and her family don't like it at all. But she and one other little girl came into my office and they hinted around for candy until I gave them some. Amen. But I told Chassie this. I told her this. Honey, don't you forget that there was a young fella named Joseph that was sent away to a place he didn't want to go. He kept God first in his life. He kept the Lord first, and God used him to do great things. And God was glorified in a land that knew not God. I think that little girl's suffering right now. I know Tracy's family is suffering right now. But I'm convinced God can get the glory in all this. And I'm telling you, Christian, you may be suffering, but God can get the glory in your life if you'll let Him. Somebody play the piano. The altar's open. Say, Lord, if it takes suffering to build me, to mature me, I'm yours. The altar's open.